Well, today we're starting a brand new series, and as we're jumping in today, let me ask you this question. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Think about that. What comes to your mind when you think about God? What's the picture that you get in your mind of who God is? The reason I ask you this question is because Dan Lehan once said that what comes to your mind when you think about God is really, ultimately, the most important thing about you. Now, you may be thinking, well, no, that can't be the most important thing. What about my DNA and my personality and my passions? Let me explain. You see, the way you see God will ultimately impact how you relate to God. And how you relate to God will ultimately impact how close you ever get to God. And how close you get to God will ultimately impact and it will define your life. It will define your relationship with God and with others and with yourself, not only now on this earth, but for all of eternity. And so what comes to your mind when you think about God? It really is the most important thing about you. I mean, do you picture God like some angry guy in the sky like so many people do? Where maybe God is holding a lightning bolt or a smite button ready to knock you out right as you step out of line or break a command. A lot of people picture God like that. Like a lot of people think that God is always angry or that maybe God is kind of annoyed with us or always disappointed in us. Almost like, you know, when we mess up, that maybe we picture God saying to us, well, I knew you were going to mess up because you always do, right? And what happens is when you see God as some angry guy somewhere in the heavenlies, it impacts how you live your life and how you live your faith and in your relationships. Because if God is some angry guy in the sky, that will impact how you relate to God. You'll always kind of live in fear of him. You'll be fearful of God. And so maybe you'll come to church and you'll sing in church, but it'll never really be from your heart. You might, you might give, but it'll always feel like it's out of fear. You might come to church every once in a while, but every time it'll always feel like an obligation. And over time, what happens is if you are always afraid of God, that starts to have an impact on your relationship with God. You'll have a growing and growing distance between you and God, because how can you really be close to someone when you're afraid of them? And so here's the thing. Sadly, so many people will be held back from ever spending eternity with God because the way they thought he was. And so how do you really see God? How do you see God? On the other hand, a lot of people see God as some sleepy grandpa in the sky. You know, that where maybe God created the heavens and the earth and he, you know, flung the stars in the sky and set the planets in motion. He breathed life into our lungs at the beginning of time. But some people think that maybe God is kind of distant. Maybe God just kind of stepped back from creation and kind of left everything to just kind of run on its own. And the thing is, if maybe you see God as kind of around, but not really around. A bit of an absent character. And that starts to shape, if God is far away, that starts to shape and impact how you relate to God. That when you go through something difficult in your life, why would you reach up to God and pray about it? Because he's kind of absent, if that's what you believe. It's one of those things where maybe you'll look up to heaven and you might have a chat, check in every once in a while, but God wouldn't play a massive role in your everyday life. And so why would he? It's almost like he's not there or he doesn't care if that's how you view God. And so that will influence how close you ever get to God, which will impact all of your life, not only now, but for all of eternity. And so what comes to your mind when you think about God? It really is the most important thing about you. That's why we're starting this brand new series today. The series is called No Ordinary Father. No Ordinary Father. And the goal of this series is I want to help you to see God, not the way your pastor sees God, not the way your parents told you when you were younger that you were supposed to see God, but I want to help us to see God for who God really is. I want us to help see God more clearly so that we can love him more deeply. Because when we see God as a God who is a perfect, loving, heavenly Father, whoa, it changes everything about the way you live. It'll impact how you relate to him and therefore how you relate to the world around you. So you won't live in fear of God if you see God as a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. You won't be in fear of him. You'll be confident in his love for you. You'll be confident in who you are because of who God says you are. You won't just come to church and sing spiritual, you know, sing songs like spiritual karaoke. No, you will boom songs from the very depths of your heart, singing love in God's direction. You won't just give and serve and maybe tithe out of obligation any longer, but you will delight in the honor of getting to join your loving Heavenly Father in his loving ministry to all the world. And so, yes, God is provider, and yes, God is protector, and yes, he's a shepherd, and he's creator, and holy, and mighty, and magnificent. But undergirding all of this, I want you to see today that he is the God who made you in his own image. He's the God who smiles in your direction, and he is the God who has invited you and me to call him Father, Abba, Dad. And so today I want us to see even more the infinite love of your Heavenly Father. I love the picture that we get in this short book in the Old Testament, the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what it says. Great picture of who God is. Here's what it says. It says, "The Lord your God is with you." He's with you. "The mighty one who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I love that. I mean, Zephaniah 3 makes it clear that God is not some angry guy in the heavenlies. You know, instead, he's created you from the very beginning because God wanted to share his love with you. He wanted to share his love with you. In fact, God formed us out of the nothingness of the dust. And he took great care to develop your DNA and your passions and your personality and your giftedness. And so Zephaniah also says that God, it shows that God is not some sleepy grandpa in the sky who just kind of leaves everything to run itself. He's not far away and distant from us, but it says that God chooses to be with us and that he actually delights in us. And so did you know that when God looks at you, that when God looks at you, that he actually rejoices over you with singing? Like, you know, I love how in Disney songs, whenever, or in Disney movies, whenever somebody, a character is really happy, it just causes them to sing. I mean, this is almost like who God is, really. It's a great picture of that. Because when God looks at you, he takes great delight in you, and it's almost like you make God sing with joy when he thinks about you. You know, one of the things that I love to do as a father is I love to just watch my kids. I love to just watch them play. And the other day, my three kids were playing out in the front yard. And it was so fun for me to just, I just took a moment and just watched them. They're 7, 5, and 2 years old. And I just watched them play. I watched them interact. I watched them laugh, sometimes argue. But I watched their personalities come alive, and I just sat back and I thought, you know what? They are so cute, and they're so sweet, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I get to be their dad. I mean, it just made me so proud of them, and I started to think, wow, they bring me so much joy. I love them. You know, here's the thing. I am an imperfect earthly father, just like every parent is an imperfect parent. I'm an imperfect father, and yet, when I think about how much I love my kids and how much, if you're a parent, you love your kids, how much more does your perfect Heavenly Father, your perfect loving Heavenly Father delight in you? In fact, Max Lucado once said it like this. He once said that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, that your picture would be, your photo would be in his wallet. I picture that almost like grandparents who are always wanting to show pictures of their grandkids on their phone or in their wallet. Max Lucado continued. He said that God sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. He said, face it, friends, God is crazy about you. God is crazy about you. You see, all throughout Scripture, God was trying to reveal himself and who he is to people around him. And mostly, God wanted to show from the very beginning that God is saying, most of all, I am your heavenly Father. But it's interesting, the word that's used here in the Scripture for heavenly Father sounds too sterile. It sounds too formal. It sounds almost like a distant word, like you're hearing God say, Luke, I am your father. You know? Like, that's not the word here that's used. The word that's used in the original language is the word Abba. Abba. Now, some of you are like, are we talking about that old band, Abba? You know, no, I'm not talking about that. The word Abba, it's the Jewish term of endearment that was used back then between a little child and their father. It just like my kids, when they were really little, when they first started talking, they would look up to me and hold their hands up and they would smile and they would say, dad, 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 dad. I mean, God is saying, that's the picture here. That term of endearment. Now my kids look at me and they say, daddy, daddy. And so what God is trying to show us, what God is trying to invite us into is he said, when you address me and when you think of me, I want you to know that I am your Abba. I am your father. I am your heavenly dad. And so sometimes I think, though, it's hard for us to envision God with such a term of endearment and closeness. Sometimes it's hard. We think of God as powerful and strong, but could we really call God our father? Because, I mean, there are over 7 billion people that live on this earth. There's a lot of people. And you turn on the news and all sorts of things, and you start to realize there is so much happening, so much drama happening all throughout the scope of creation all over the world. How could God really know us that intimately? On the other hand, a lot of times I'll drive around our community. And I'll drive around the community and I'll look at all the rooftops in the community that represent the thousands and thousands of homes and people who live there in our community. And oftentimes, when we started the church, we did this all the time. We would pull into a neighborhood and we would lift up our hand and we would start to pray. And as I'm driving, even still, I'll oftentimes lift up my hand and I'll pray for the families and for the people in this community. And I'll say, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help every single person in this community to know the love and the peace and the presence and the power of your Son, Jesus, and they would know the love of their Heavenly Father. And it's interesting as I think about the thousands of people living in this area and the thousands of rooftops as I'm driving, it's easy to start thinking of how small I am compared to who God is. How small of a piece I am compared to who God is. I mean, God is so big and I'm so small in the grand scheme of things. And so you may be thinking, well, how does God actually see me? How much does God really know me? How much could God even care about someone like me that he would invite me to call him Father, Abba, Dad? And yet the Scripture tells us that God knows you so intimately that he knows the amount of every single hair that is on your head. That God knows you so much that he knows your name and he knows your story. And not only that, but he is working in every single detail of your life. In fact, if you want to know how much God is involved in every detail, just look at your thumb for a minute. Look at your finger for a minute. Every single person in the entire world has a completely different thumbprint and fingerprint that's been given to them by God. And so if you wonder, God, how could you be involved in the smallest details of our life? God is saying, I know and I care. Just as I created that, I'm involved in every detail of your life. You know, to complicate things even more, though, when I used to preach, when I was a little younger, I used to share about the love of our Heavenly Father, and I still do, but I would share how much the Heavenly Father loves you. And I used to use that term Father a lot, and what would happen is I would think in my mind that immediately, ingrained in everybody's mind, would be these images of love and protection and provision and care. And those things would crystallize in people's minds when they think of Father, and they would multiply them by million times to get a picture of who God really is. But unfortunately, as I went to school, I went to college, and as I've been in ministry for a long time, I've realized that many people in the world begin to clam up or maybe even cringe when they hear the word that God is like a father. Because for so many people, the word dad or the word father has not been a good term for them. Unfortunately, sometimes when people say that God is father, words like absent comes to mind because that's maybe how their father was. Words like aggressive come to their mind because maybe that's how their father was. Maybe always in a bad mood and their father would come around when they did something wrong with a belt, right? Or maybe words like apathetic come to mind. Like maybe, you know, he's kind of there, but didn't really have much of a relationship. And so oftentimes what happens is you say words like God is Father, and people take that term and they multiply what they know in their head by a million times, and they start to think that that's who God is. The truth is, there is no perfect earthly parent. I am an imperfect parent. In fact, no earthly dad is perfect. I mean, I have an incredible earthly dad. I do. And so Father has always been an easy term for me to understand the care and love of our Heavenly Father. But I understand for so many people, one of the hurdles that you have to cross is that when you think about the word Father, what comes to your mind? And it's one of those things that our earthly father was designed to give us some clues of who God is, but our earthly father was never meant to be the primary limiter to show you all of who God is. You know, I mean, I love, as a father, I love my three kids so much. I love my three kids so much, but I am an imperfect father. I mess up all the time. And so oftentimes when I'm praying with my kids at night, I'll oftentimes pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I pray that, and whichever kid I'm addressing, I'll pray that Peyton and Kelsey and Connor, I pray that they would know how much mommy and daddy love them. But more importantly, that they would know, even when we mess up, that they have a perfect, loving Heavenly Father who loves them more than they could ever imagine. More than mommy and daddy could ever love them. God, you love them. Because I want them to know that in their life. And so here's the thing. The good news is God already knew it would be difficult for us to understand God as a father. And so all throughout the scriptures, God was beginning to reveal who he is and his character. And in fact, all the way back in the Old Testament, God began to lead his people, the Israelites, and then the nation of Israel. And he began to show them in so many ways how God rescues them, how God calls people out, how God empowers people, how God frees people from bondage, and how God leads people every step of the way. In fact, in Deuteronomy 32, God said, look, I want you to know that I am a creator. I made all this, the world and everything in it, but mostly I want you to know that I'm a father. In Isaiah chapter 3, God shows that, look, I am redeemer, I'm restorer. He says in other places in the scripture, I'm a strong tower, but mostly I want you to know that I'm a father. He says, and I love what he says in the book of Psalms. It says, God says that I am a father to the fatherless. I'm a father to the fatherless. And so if you've ever felt like your father was absent in any kind of way, God raises his hands and says, let me step in and let me show you how I want to be your perfect, loving, heavenly father. Yes, God is powerful and strong and holy and majestic, but underlying all those things, God is our perfect, loving, heavenly father. And then we flash forward to the New Testament. And God wanted to really unpack this reality. And so what did God do? God intersects humanity. God sends his son, Jesus, into the world to live amongst us, to be God literally with us. And in that moment, we started to realize the incredible love of our Heavenly Father and what it really looks like. In fact, over 100 times when Jesus is talking about God, he declares in some kind of way that I want you to know that yes, he's God, but he is your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. In fact, one time, funny story in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' disciples pulled Jesus to the side and they kind of said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, you seem to have a really strong connection with the big guy upstairs. I mean, when you talk to him, like, it's just a different kind of way. You pray to him and you talk to him and he listens and he seems to talk back." And they're like, "Jesus, can you show us? Can you show us? Can you teach us to do that, to speak to him and to talk to him like you do?" And Jesus said, "Sure, let me teach you." He says, "Okay, when you talk to God, when you pray to God, here's what I want you to say." He says, "I want you to say, 'Our Abba, our Father in heaven.'" I want you to address God like your, our Father in heaven. It's the word Abba. And it's interesting because Jesus could have said, he could have said, "When you come and you address God, I want you to fall to your knees. I want you to beg for mercy. I want you to address him with a formality of the royalty he is. And I want you to say, 'Oh, great and powerful one in the atmosphere.'" But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "When you come and you address God, I want you to know that he's close and he's caring, that he is your loving dad who is in heaven." You know, I think that's why the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 15. Here's what it says. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." That's God didn't come to bring fear to us. He says, "But you received the spirit of sonship, to be sons and daughters, just like Jesus is the Son. We get to share in his sonship, in the family of God." And he says, "And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" See, wired inside of us is this desire to reach up to heaven and to say, "Dad, dad, 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 Abba, Father." And so here's the thing. When you see God as your heavenly dad, it changes everything. That when God wants you to go in a certain direction in your life, you're no longer like, "Oh man, I don't know if I can trust that because I don't know if he's good and he loves me." All of a sudden, it's like, "Man, when God calls me to something, absolutely, I'll jump into it because God knows me most and he loves me best. He knows what's best for me." And all of a sudden, when you start reading the Ten Commandments in the scriptures, it no longer feels like 10 restrictions, but it feels like 10 different requests from a loving Heavenly Father of how we could find abundant life. It changes everything. You know, everyone in the scriptures understood that God is big and holy and untouchable until Jesus came. And Jesus showed us a picture of who he is. And when John had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything for him personally, and it really reshaped everything about how he saw God. In fact, he wrote about it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And here's the words that he wrote, these famous words in Scripture. He says this about God because of what he'd encountered. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Exclamation point. We should be called children of God. And so here's the question. What did John see? What did John see that would change everything in us if we saw it? What did John get that if we got it, it would change everything in us? I want to close with this. I think John saw three things in this scripture that changed him and has the power to change us. It says, see what great love the Father. And so here's the first thing I think John wants us to see, is to see the great love of God. See the great love of God who is your Heavenly Father. I mean, that's my prayer, is that as children of God, we would not only know God's love, but we would begin to rest in his love forever. See, we don't become children of God because we're so lovable. We become children of God because of the gift of God's love that has been given to us. And we can't ever earn it. We can't pay it back. It's a gift. In fact, when you go to Chick-fil-A and you buy a chicken biscuit someday, you give them your money. And when they, after you give them the money and they come to you in the drive-thru now, they don't come to you with a bag to say, here's a gift for you, here's a gift for you. They don't do that. Why? Because you bought it. Like, it's not some special thing. You bought it. You earned it. So when God comes to you, it's one of those things that the moment that you buy something, the moment you think you got to earn something, it ceases to be a gift. And so here's the thing. God doesn't love you because you're so lovable. God loves you because love is who God is. He has gifted his love to you. In fact, if you were to cut God open with a knife, God would ooze out love because that's who God is. And so here's the thing. When you know God's love, you stop living your life trying to seek his approval. Instead, you start to live your life confidently from God's approval. You know who you are because of who he is. Here's what it says again. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. The second thing that John saw that God wants us to see is this. Number two is that God's love has been lavished. It's been lavished on us. God's love's lavished on us. And I love the word lavished here. We don't use it a lot, but the word lavished is basically it means to be poured out freely, to be poured out generously, to be poured out recklessly even. See, God's love has been poured out freely and generously and even sometimes recklessly so that we can simply receive it in our lives. And when I think of the word lavished, I think of Niagara Falls. Maybe you've seen pictures of Niagara Falls before. It is this massive, massive waterfall. And I was reading about this. Niagara Falls actually has 681,000 gallons of water that falls from there every single second. 681,000 gallons of water falls every second. I mean, the water just falls and it covers the rocks below. It doesn't stop. It keeps coming and coming and coming. It's just lavishing the rocks below. See, here's the thing. That's how God's love is for you. God doesn't casually like you. The truth is, God has lavished his love on you. In fact, every single day, God is working to show you a picture of his love for you. And so the question for us is this: will you be open to receive that love? Will you be willing to receive the love of your heavenly Father? And will you allow that love to change your life? The third thing that John saw that I think he wants us to see is found in the scripture. It says this. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The third thing he wants us to see is this, is that you are called a child of God. You are a child of God. See, when God comes into your life, he changes your identity. He gives you a new name. He says, now you are a child of God. See, only the creator and the maker of something have the right to rename something, to rename us. And so that means that all the names that you've been known for in your life are no longer true about you. You're no longer a failure. You're a child of God. You're no longer a fool. You're a child of God. You're no longer the one who is always overlooked in everything that you do. No, no, no. God sees you and knows you. You are a child of God. It means that you're no longer the sum of all of your mistakes. You're no longer the sum of all of your accomplishments. No, you are a child of God. And see, when you realize the love of your heavenly Father, that he's good and kind and he loves you, and he invites you to become his child, man, it changes everything. It changes everything. And so my prayer for us in this series is that God would help us all to see his great love and care for us, and that God would allow his great infinite love to shape and define and transform everything about us and everything in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. And God, we throw that word around a lot, that you love us. But God, I pray that you would help us to see how you lavish your love on us. How, God, we have been bought at the highest price when you died on the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would help us to know how much you care for us and how close you are to us. Would you help us in this series to maybe unpack what it really looks like for you to be our Heavenly Father? And God, I pray that every single day that we would begin to grow closer and closer, nearer and nearer in our relationship with you. May you change us from the inside out as we get to know your love and as we receive your love in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.